Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our special Christmas presentation for Wheatland Baptist Church. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're excited about our songs that we're going to sing and different passages of scripture we're going to look at. And we're thankful that you decided to come and be a part of our evening together. Thank you very much. And we're going to show our appreciation when we're all done. We're going to have some snacks at the end that we would like you to stay and enjoy some fellowship with us. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to we're going to sing a hymn together to get us all started. So let's look to the Lord in prayer together. Our wonderful Father, we thank you for the fact that we can come together tonight and in a special way celebrate the birth of our wonderful Savior Jesus. We thank you, Father, for leaving the glories of heaven to come down to this earth so that you can be our Savior, that you can come here to die on the cross and rise again from the dead so that we can have this wonderful gift of everlasting life. And we just pray, God, that everything that we say and do tonight would bring honor and glory to our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you'll look at your hymnal, we're going to sing hymn number 201, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let's stand together as we sing, if you would please, 201. Seated.
We three kings of Orient, bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King easy never over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God in sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Well, good evening. You know, we've heard it all before, ever since we were children. We learned it from our parents and our grandparents, and they learned it from their parents and grandparents. We hope to teach it to our children and our children's children. Now, what is this "it" I'm talking about? Well, it's the simple story of Christmas. You know, the one about the baby Jesus. Who doesn't appreciate hearing about a new baby born into a family? After all, babies are cute and sweet and smell nice, most of the time. And so it is with the story of Christmas. Now, along with the baby, once you add the parents and the angels and the shepherds and some rich foreigners with really cool gifts, then we have a story that is worth listening to and retelling again and again. We know the story so well, or do we? How does this event of the past relate to us in our present age? Does the birth of Jesus have an association to a deeper past history? How will the account of Jesus' birth connect to our future? What does it all mean? Let's give some thought to these questions as we hear once more the how, where, and why of God sending his Son into a hurting world as a meek and precious infant.
We begin our Christmas remembrance with the Lord's earthly parents.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Luke 1:30-33. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great to you. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
To Mary, the angel Gabriel said, "The Lord is with you." God chose a simple peasant girl because it pleased him to favor her. Her reply was quite simple: "I am the Lord's servant."
Matthew 1:18-21. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Matthew 1:18-21. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
For Joseph, he was told by the angel of the Lord to fear not. The coming son to be named Jesus would save his people from their sins.
Luke 2:1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Sleep thy throne and thy kingly crown, when thou camest to earth for me. Luke 2:8-14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child.
The shepherds were told to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Bethlehem was a crowded city full of visitors. Inns were merely a series of enclosed stalls with a fire pit for cooking. Stabled animals were kept in a different spot, a dirty, smelly cave with a manger for feed. This was no grand entrance place for the Savior, yet the shepherds found him lying in a manger. Those shunned, uncultured, crude shepherds perhaps whooped and hollered to glorify and praise God for what they had seen and heard. They marveled, and then they proclaimed.
Labor. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go, and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Wise men journeyed from the land of Abraham, the land of Jewish captivity, the land of Daniel's prophecy. They were men of learning with a religion dependent upon astrology. The astronomers, a new star was an omen of a remarkable event or birth. Their assembly traveled to follow a star indicating that the king of Jews had been born. To Herod, they asked, Where is he? From Scripture, chief priests and scribes directed them to Bethlehem. Sending the wise men on their way, King Herod requested their return so that he could worship the prophesied King of the Jews. Gifts presented to the child were typically given to those of royal birth. These gifts perhaps provided resources for the family later as they fled to Egypt. God honored the wise men by warning them to return home by another route. The ultimate outcome of Herod's jealousy brought extreme sorrow to his people. God provided an extraordinary path to safety for the poor peasant family protecting the Christ child.
Christ whom are
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The importance of the Christ child does not end here. God sent his only Son to live as a mortal in a fallen world. Perfection met death, burial, and resurrection as the one pathway to an individual, personal relationship with God. Could you please stand with me? Repeat responsively John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
I don't know about you, but I've always loved Christmas. How many love Christmas? Sort of like saying, you know, who likes candy? Same kind of a thing. But for the first 20-some years of my life, I liked Christmas for these reasons. We always got a school vacation or a college vacation. That was awesome. Usually always had snow, so we could go out and sled ride and do all those kinds of fun things. Meant my mother was going to make cookies and all kinds of treats that I loved to eat. And most of all, it meant we were getting presents. I loved presents. I still like presents. But my early 20s, something changed. And I didn't like Christmas because it wasn't vacation anymore because I had a job, so I got a couple of days off. It wasn't snow anymore because snow was a problem. I had to shovel it or plow it or do something with it. It wasn't nearly as much fun as whenever I was a little kid. I didn't live with my mother, but my wife, she did a good job filling in with all the snacks and you can tell by looking at me that I haven't missed too many of those. But something changed in my life that I looked at Christmas in a whole different way, a whole different direction, a whole different light about Christmas. And that was 1974. We were having our first child, and we were going to a Bible study and learning all about the verse that we just recited together, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I had memorized that verse whenever I was a little kid, but at this Bible study, the man began to explain to us just exactly what that meant, that God, Jesus himself, came down to this earth on the day that we celebrate as Christmas. Now, is Jesus' birth actually December 25th? I don't know. There was 365 choices, right? December 25th is as good as any other. We're celebrating the fact that God left the glories of heaven to come down to this earth, and he came down for a purpose. He came down here to be my Savior. He came down here to be your Savior. He came down to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins and for the penalty of your sins. And shortly after our daughter was born in 1976, my wife and I both put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We recognized our sinfulness. We recognized that we couldn't by our own works and pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps make ourselves pure and clean so that we could get into to heaven, because heaven is a holy place. That's where God lives. And we couldn't do that, and we needed somebody to save us from our sins. And we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And after that, Christmas was totally different, because now Christmas is remembering the fact of God's love for us. How much does God love us? And so when I think of Christmas, and you know, people talk about peace and joy and all of those kinds of things, I like to think of the fact that God loves me so much that he came down to this earth and he died on that wretched cross, mocked and scorned and beaten and laughed at, so that my sins could be forgiven. He shed his blood so that I could have this wonderful gift of everlasting life. And I just love Christmas for the fact that it reminds me of his love, how much he loves us, that he would come to this earth to be our Savior. And while you're here tonight, I know many of you have already made that same decision that I made, that you're a sinner, that you need to have Christ as your Savior, and you've been born again, and hallelujah, we can all rejoice in that together. But maybe there's someone here tonight, someone who maybe has heard the Christmas story many, many times over. Somebody here tonight that maybe have celebrated many, many Christmases, but they have never put Jesus Christ into their life. They have never repented of their sins and said, Jesus, come and save me. I need that everlasting life. I need to be born from above. And that's the reason we put on a Christmas program like this, to talk about our wonderful Savior and how he came to be not only our Savior, but also your Savior if you have not trusted him. And so if you're here tonight, you're not sure that you have everlasting life, be glad to, after the service is over, to talk to you, Tracy Wood, Pastor Post, Jeffrey, any of us, be glad to just chat with you. We could show you right out of the Bible how you can know for sure that when you die, you go to heaven. But I would plead with you, please don't leave this church tonight until you know for sure that this God from glory came down and paid the penalty for your sins, and you have that gift of everlasting life. Because that's the most exciting, the most precious thing about Christmas, is that you and the one that that came to this earth have a personal, vital, living relationship. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the glorious opportunity that we have every year to celebrate the birth of our Savior. We love him. We thank you for him. We rejoice in him. And God, we're excited about the day whenever we're going to get to see him face to face and in glory. And Father, we just pray that if there's anyone in this room tonight that has never trusted Jesus as their Savior, that tonight would be the night that maybe even in the quietness of this moment, they would just call out to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins, and I ask Jesus to be my Savior. I need to be saved. And just in the quietness of those words, but the transaction of the heart, that you begin to trust in Jesus for the payment of your sins and the hope of everlasting life. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.